Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape. Mitchell Jarvis, welcome to Berg Vivant, sir. You are currently playing Festy the Fool in 12th Night at the Pittsburgh Public Theater.
Yeah, that's what they tell me.
Yeah?
Yeah, first I just thing show up and they turn on the lights and somehow the play happens.
That is the magic of La Teatra, as I have heard.
Well, that's what a lot of audience thinks happens.
How would you describe your relationship with Shakespeare?
It's an interesting one. I've had this interesting relationship with Shakespeare, even though this is the first professional Shakespeare I've done. I've played him three times. I've played him. I've played Shakespeare in three different projects as three different types of Shakespeare, cartoon versions of him usually.
You've got the hair, the beard.
I mean, he's malleable, depending on the interpretation. So I played him as kind of a rock star character. I've played him as kind of an impish, plummy, almost Stewie Griffin type of character. And this is the first time I've actually done one of his plays professionally. Though, I went to Carnegie Mellon University here in Pittsburgh, and so we spent a lot of time studying him and doing his soliloquies and monologues and voice class and acting class. But this is the first time I've gotten to actually kind of tackle one of his plays.
Now, I won't be all rude and ask you when you went to CMU, but how much has changed in Pittsburgh since you were a student there?
Well, I graduated '02 when I went to university in '02. And so it's been 15 years since I've been in Pittsburgh, and it's different. It's different than what I remember it, but the feeling and the essence of the people is the same. And like we were talking about before, I've been in Las Vegas for 10 months.
Yeah, just coming off
coming
the
here for the last two.
Rock
so,
of ages.
It's been a welcome kind of time to come back to the old stomping grounds and see teachers and kind of see the old neighborhood. I lived in Shadyside for 4 years.
And it's still there, Shadyside.
It's still there, and it's, still feels the same. So I'm happy to be back.
Pittsburgh is like an old friend that just waits for you
back. His town's booming. His town's always booming.
You've got a friend in Pennsylvania that's, I think, still on the signs, right?
Yeah.
When you come over the border.
And Western Pennsylvania in particular, very specific.
It's
got its own unique essence, and I miss it.
You're in it now.
I know. I'm relishing it.
We have interesting timing here because that we are interviewing you here on Berg Vivant after we've put out a review of the show.
So
we can actually have the very rare opportunity to talk to you about the review that we did. No, it was very positive. Yeah. But wait, it was Mike Mazzelli's review, and I reread it today, and I had to laugh. One of the things he has in there is Festy, parentheses, Mitchell Jarvis, that's you, of course. Jokes, many a good hanging prevents a bad marriage.
Yes.
He swings his forearm between his legs in case you don't catch his drift.
Well, what does that mean? He kind of combined the two lines. She says that I'll be hanged for being so long absent from my master's house. And I say, let her hang me. He that is well hanged in this world needs to fear no one. And I find that to be a relatively true statement. And then doubles down by saying many a good hanging prevents a bad marriage. And that also could be very true. You just have to kind of change your perspective on things. And this is what Festy allows us to do. And why I love playing him so much is I really like looking at all things in life from every angle, nook and cranny. And that's what he likes to do as well.
So was the arm motion, one of your inventions, or was that a Ted Pappas touch?
That was a Ted Pappas touch, and I was happy about it, because when I read the play, I saw all of the kind of innuendo there, because I have a relatively filthy imagination. And I was pleased to when Ted wanted us to really lean into those double entendres, and they're throughout the play, and they're not there by accident. So I enjoy really being able to go there in this production.
So how does a very articulate actor or director such as Ted Pappas ask you to produce a 2.5-foot phallus with your arm?
I said just hang it down. I put it hang it there. Let him see it.
That's going into his biography, I'm sure. But Mr. Bozzelli does go on that Mitchell Jarvis sings, dances, and jokes his way through the show as the clown Festy. His charms are irresistible.
Oh.
How often do you hear that?
Well, I'll take it. I'll take it when I can get it.
Yeah.
Because I've heard other things about other performances, and so that you know. I'll welcome this.
So what in your repertoire qualifies you to be a fool?
You know, the first when I got offered the play, and I hadn't read the play. I wasn't familiar with Twelfth Night. I read it, and immediately I just noticed that it's me. The Festy's me. And so I really didn't need to go much farther than kind of studying my own kind of satirical view of the world. And he just kind of sees things the way I do. So I jumped off from that vantage point, and it's been a relatively painless process putting the show together. And the characters was written for an actor specifically in 1601, who was just kind of merging theater companies at the time that Shakespeare was writing for. He was at the height of his fame and power of, you know, in the community. And so he got this actor who was a singer and decided to write him 3 songs. And so most productions will have their own music written for the lyrics that mm-hmm. are written into the play. And Michael Morowitz wrote 3 songs for me specifically for this play. And so that's been really fun. It's kind of, you know, a 400-year-old play that somehow manages to be totally unique and written for me. And so that opportunity is not lost on me. The fact that I get to do that is very exciting.
And your career started very early. I mean, you've been all over the country. And one of your earliest musical experiences, your family sort of had a touring musical group, the Jarvis Family Singers.
We were Jarvis Family Singers, yes. My parents met in a kind of a gospel singing group when my mother was a teenager and my dad was just barely in college. And so they kind of continued their singing act as a married couple. And then when they had kids, they just kind of integrated the kids into the act. So, you know, maybe through 3rd or 4th grade, I was kind of traveling around singing at churches with my family.
You guys were like the Von Trapps.
Yeah, we really were. I didn't really think much of it. I kind of assumed that that's what all kids did on their breaks. I remember specifically making that realization that this isn't what other families do.
It's super cool.
Yeah, I mean, I had to come back around to the idea of it being cool. But it got me interested in singing. I had a skill for singing and I enjoyed it. So I started singing in choirs. In middle school and high school, and then I broke my leg playing basketball my sophomore year, and it was a spring league, a traveling league, and up to that point I was really focused on my basketball life, and the injury really kind of forced me into kind of taking a real perspective on things, and when I came back to school after the injury, they were auditioning for Jesus Christ Superstar in the for the spring musical, and they wanted all of the tenors in the choir to audition. So I did, and I got the role of Judas. And
yeah, see, I was going to say, I see you as a Jesus.
Well, we had kind of a more established high school star, Phil Halstead.
Didn't we all?
Who was very much slated in to play that role. So I got the role of Judas, and I remember that first week of rehearsals just thinking, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. And so I never looked back from that point on.
So what brought you to Carnegie Mellon specifically for college training?
Well, when I started paying attention to theater at that moment when I kind of had that awakening auditioning for the show at the high school, I decided I need to start educating myself, so I went to watch plays in Minneapolis, which is a really kind of happening theater scene. And at the time, I went to see a Terrence Mann written and directed production of a Romeo and Juliet rock opera starring a guy named Patrick Wilson, who had just graduated from Carnegie Mellon University, and I read his bio. I knew nothing about universities for, you know, conservatories, anything like that. I read his bio. It said Carnegie Mellon, and I said, oh, I'll go there. So I, my ignorance was bliss at the time. I just auditioned for Carnegie Mellon and managed to get in and came out and just threw myself into it.
You ever run into Patrick Wilson out there?
Played softball with Patrick Wilson. Yeah.
Did you tell him, like, hey, thanks to your bio,
I told him when he came back to CMU to teach some sort of a little mini workshop class. And I told him then, and he it was strange. He kind of processed it and said, well, thank you. And was very reserved. And I couldn't tell what he thought of it, to be honest with you. But I since have been on softball teams with him, and he's a lovely, lovely man. And so I don't know. It's funny how the worlds tend to collide once you kind of get yourself inserted into the network.
So from Carnegie Mellon University to Broadway, you originated the role of Lonnie the narrator in Rock of Ages.
Yeah.
That's the one where Jack Black plays the guitar for the kids, right?
That's
School of Rock.
Similar time. Actually, the guy who wrote the script for Rock of Ages had worked with Jack Black on Tenacious D stuff. And so the vibe of Rock of Ages was very much in that world from the time we started kind of building it. But I got cast off-Broadway for the three-month run at New World Stages, which was meant to be in 2008 only. And somehow that turned into 6.5 years of a Broadway run. So it was very much a ground floor experience, and one that I'm sure I'll never experience again.
Then why do you say that?
Well, it was kind of the little engine that could kind of show that it was. I think that it's a really rare case where all of the parts fall into place in just the right way. And it was right on the heels of the recession that happened. And I think, you know, I don't know what the numbers are, but it felt like maybe 3/4 of the shows in New York closed all at the same time.
Yeah.
And our producers took that opportunity to just kind of swoop in with a feel-good show in a time that people needed that.
Yeah.
And it resonated, and what nobody thought would run for even 3 months wound up going 6 years strong. And I was doing it up until 2 months ago in Las Vegas, 8 years later.
Yeah.
So it's the kind of thing where I think it's just an experience that will be totally unique.
Well, Pittsburgh seems to be thriving as far as theater goes, and we're certainly thrilled to have you here as a part of that for the next month, up until February 26th. You can see Mitchell in 12th night at the Pittsburgh.
Or What You Will.
Or What You Will.
Yes, that's the second part of the title. Nobody ever puts on the poster.
Now, see, I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
What do you think was, what's really the translation? Why did Shakespeare put that on there, do you think?
I think it's very much a play about how we interpret information, how we interpret misinformation. And
very
and
timely, by the way.
How that will affect one's belief and therefore affect their behavior. And so, what you will, I think, has the double meaning of that, and in addition to Will Shakespeare writing it from his own point of view, and the Festy character very much gets to get inside of Shakespeare's head at the time he was writing it, which I find to be a really fun way of approaching the character.
And Shakespeare was a clever guy.
Yeah, I think people are going to start talking about him one of these years.
It's about time he gets his due.
Yeah,
I don't think so. So again, 12th Night is at the Pittsburgh Public Theater through February 26th. Mitchell Jarvis as Festy. See him there.
As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.